Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. There are a few intimations to go through. First, a reminder for the elders, the Kirk session meets at 7 o'clock Wednesday the 11th of March. That's this Wednesday coming to our dear church hall. There will be a wee bit of business. It's supposed to be the in celebration evening, but there will be a wee bit of business we've got to talk about, particularly church accounts, and then Ian Sutherland is coming to do a wee bit more work with us around the learning community stuff. So that's Wednesday. We'll get back to that in a minute. I forgot where I was. A changeover. It's March now. Fire alarm. Event of a fire alarm, and there shouldn't be anything, but we exit through the two fire exits and down to the school car park. We meet together there. Tea and coffee after the service in the hall. It's just time to be able to share together and to be together in fellowship. Craft Group has Easter cards as well as other cards for all occasions on display after the service, and you're asked just to put a donation in the box for any of the cards that you would like. Sunday night at the manse, the prayer course continues this evening, exploring scripture, seeking God's presence and sharing fellowship. So that's at 7 o'clock. All are welcome to that. And then the Highkirk coffee morning on Tuesday morning at 10:30, Highkirk Hall. Time of fellowship, home baking, an opportunity to sing favourite worship songs led by Jim McQuinney on the keyboard. This is apparently the last one until September. And then on Tuesday afternoon, the Guild will visit the Clydeside Singers and join the practice of the Little Sisters of the Poor in Greenock. I'm there about 1 o'clock, practice finishes at 2:30, and then there's tea afterwards. Questions answered. A reminder about the boxes. If you've got any questions about the union or the buildings, then please do write them on cards and put them in the box. The boxes will be taken away after the services on the 15th of March, which is next week, and then the group we've been working on this will look at the questions and bring detailed answers to the service or after the service, shared worship at 10:30 on the 29th of March. Want to emphasise, we had a meeting during the week, want to emphasise that actually if the questions don't go in the box, they won't be answered. There's not an opportunity to ask questions on the day. And that's because we need to make sure we've got the right answers and the detailed answers, and just getting fired a question on the day might lead to misinformation going out or not a fully detailed answer. So the boxes have been there for 5 weeks, so take every opportunity to put a question or a comment in the box. Kirk session I've been instructed, all the Kirk sessions of Presbytery, been instructed by Presbytery to meet together in the mission groups. Now, the mission groups are Largs, West Kilbride, Fairlie and Cumbrae, the three towns, Kilwinning, Meath, Dalry and Kilburnie, and then Cross and Arran. They're the four mission groups. So each mission group, sessions from each mission group to have been instructed to meet together to talk about the current situation of the church. The Three Towns meeting is 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 17th of March at St Cuthbert's Church Hall, 7 o'clock. I've said that 7 o'clock, said that twice now. So this is an opportunity for Presbytery to find out, to listen to what people are saying from the congregations through the Kirk sessions. So please do come. It will not form the last part of a presbytery plan, but it will be used to inform where presbytery are going, bearing in mind that presbytery itself is involved in other discussions with other presbyteries. So this is an opportunity, and all elders are encouraged to take part. I gave Ross the wrong information. It should be local houses of prayer. I've spent ages calling this little houses of prayer, but it's local houses of prayer, training day on the 28th of March and Saturday here. I think the times are maybe 9:30 and 3:30, but 10 to 4 at the moment. I'll change that later once I confirm it. But that's all information I've previously given Ross, because I thought that's what it was. This is a training day that just enables us to see how we can operate in small groups in prayer. And I'm putting it out to presbytery and to other presbyteries to widen it out. Facilitator Ian Sutherland will come and do the training, and he's putting it out into his networks. It comes from some development in our retreat down in Wales, Falda Brennan, and it comes at some of the work that's going on there. And so we're going to do this training. It's available to everybody. It's free. Proviso is bring a packed lunch. There will be an offering, but it is free. And we'll look at that. And then after Easter, Sunday night of the manse, we'll do what's called the blessing course, which is a follow-up from local houses of prayer. And as a ongoing thing at the moment, COVID-19, the coronavirus, hand sanitizers are there. Please, if you're able to use them, use them. Best practice is soap and water. I'm going to come back to that later on, but there are hand sanitizers there. And can I just put a wee appeal? If anyone sees any in the shops, I know you're only limited to two per purchase, but if you can, just so we've got a few for the service. And the other thing starting this morning is we'll just uplift the offering as people come in, and that just saves the baskets being moved about. Don't want to overdo this, but on the other hand, there are precautions that we can take. Just to hold that back. Finally, I'm sure people may have heard this, but members will be saddened to hear of the death of Barbara Roy this week. The funeral is some time away yet, but I'm sure if I get the details, we'll be able to intimate them. So let's just take a moment now in prayer as we remember Barbara, and pray for Ian and the family. Heavenly Father, we bless you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all the memories that we have of Barbara, our time here, our life here, our calling here. And as we pray and thank you for her life and for all that you made her, so we remember Ian and all the family. And Lord, we ask that your spirit would be present with them now, and that it would grant them peace and strength, and be with them as they readjust to the life without her presence. And so, Lord, we thank you and offer these prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God, Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. As his people, let's just give him all the glory in our worship. Before the throne of God above, let's worship. Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. God of light and revelation, we praise you for the beauty of the earth that's around us. God of light and revelation, we praise you for your creation. Father, as we pray, we give you thanks that we are able to join together here this morning to give you the glory, to lift up our hearts and our voices in praise, to open our ears to your word, and to offer our very selves in your service. Father, your Spirit inspires and challenges us. And we ask you to be with us in this place. It would fill us with your love and peace, so we share all the gifts that you give us with all those around us and each other. Lord God, you have done so much for us, more than we deserve, more than we can list, more than we can understand. So for the times when we fall short, forgive us. For the times when we fail to acknowledge just how blessed we are. For the times we show little care to those who are struggling. Lord, forgive us. Heavenly Father, we're sorry for the words we use, or the actions we commit that harm others and cause tension. And yet as we come before you and approach you, we discover that your care for us remains strong. You call us blessed, for despite our ways, we remain right with you. And so, Lord, forgiven, loved and free, may we enter worship this day, ready to seek your will and your will alone. And Lord, hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is. So one of the things, obviously, the news is full of COVID-19, and whether you get the balance right between what's alarmist and what's actually factual and what it is that we actually have to do. Another thing I saw in one of the news items is where, I think it was a class in Paisley, were being taught how to wash their hands, and apparently singing Happy Birthday to You twice is 20 seconds. And that was the suggestion. However, there's been other things that have been coming up on Facebook, and other people making suggestions about things that we can do while we wash our hands for the 20 seconds. And the one I particularly like is just to use the Lord's Prayer. So every time you wash your hands, pray the Lord's Prayer. 20 seconds or so. But I'm sure 25 seconds hand washing can only be better than 20 seconds. But it's just about taking that time. It's a time when we'd be thinking about something, if not just washing our hands. So as we do that, then surely we should be able to say the Lord's Prayer and to bless him again. And obviously the advice is to wash our hands often. And it strikes me that if we pray his prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, whoever we want to call it, if we do the Our Father every time we wash our hands, and we wash our hands frequently, and all Christians did that, how many prayers would be going up? How many prayers would there be? And what would God be doing with all that? And I just feel that's something I would want to encourage you to do is wash your hands, Our Father. I have not got to the point where I've timed it on Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, but but I'm sure we could get there. But just to take that time, for He is our God, our Creator, our Saviour, our Healer, our Redeemer, and we should bless Him all the time. And that's just another way of being able to do that. Let's rise to worship again. There is a Redeemer. Let's worship Him. Realise the implications for this next bit. I was about to say, offering will be uplifted, and while we do that, we'll sing We Believe. So let's just sit and we'll sing We Believe. I'll rethink this for later, but let's believe. Let's sing We Believe. And if anyone still hasn't handed in their offering, you don't mind just going and picking it up, putting it in the basket rather, and we can sort it out later. I'm sure Finlay doesn't mind. We believe in God the Father. Let's just sit and worship. Thank you. Let's join together in prayer again. Let's pray. God of love, whose foolishness is greater than any human wisdom, you challenge us with standards to aspire to, and yet you overflow with love, with openness, with acceptance. And as we pray together this morning, we pray for your world, the world that you've gifted us and called us to be stewards of. And Lord, we seek to look on it through Christ-like eyes. Eyes that help us to see a clearer vision of the world. Eyes that help us to see people as they really are. Eyes to recognize that despite the trials that are experienced by some, that they are blessed. We pray today for those who are financially poor. As we sit down to food at our tables today, may we remember your children who go hungry. Maybe we remember those who are homeless and don't know where the next meal comes from. May we remember those who, despite being able to earn something, still have to use food banks. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray today for those who are poor in spirit, for those who are craving comfort and those who need space and time to heal. For those that are looking for that wholeness within you, that healing that can be found from you. For those who are looking for that space in their lives that only you can fill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we pray too today for those who are silenced or overlooked. For those who deserve our respect, for those who deserve their voices heard. We pray for those who work for peace and reconciliation. And may their voices be heard in a world that so urgently needs to listen and pay attention, to seek peace, to seek unity. Lord, your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we are more than just your people. We are blessed to be called your children. Help us as your family to reach out to the lost, the broken, and the suffering. Hear us in the quiet with our own prayers. Father, as we brought the burdens, the hardships that we bring in our prayers, the people that we lift up to you, the situations that we're dealing with, may you bless each one of us. And we put ourselves to you too, Lord, along with our offering of money, a token of everything that you've given, we give back to you. But would you use us and it for the building up of your kingdom? And so, Lord, as we pray that you would remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget, and that in your mercy you would hear our prayer and you would answer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we turn to reading of the word from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. Alan's going to read for us. I'll pray after that, and then he's going to read again, and then we'll see the words on the screen, and then, just remaining seated, we go into the next praise item. Here is love vast as the ocean. So listen, each one, for the word of God.
The passage is titled Righteousness Through Faith. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God. Who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reading and pray your Spirit present with us now. We just lift us, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our ears to your word. And Lord, would you inspire us with that which you want us to hear this morning and to reflect on personally. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faith. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our series in the Apostles' Creed is shifting just all the time and changing a little bit, and circumstances have caused that. But however, it still is something I want to move through as much as possible. I'll not be here next week. Robert Travers will be conducting worship. And the week after, moderator of Presbytery is coming to worship with us. He'll lead worship here and down at Ardeer as part of the churches and the congregations within Presbytery that he visits during the moderatorial year. So Alan will be joining us then. So again, it just changes just how we're looking at a series when suddenly there's a couple of things that happen that just knock that out. However, it's important that we just want to keep going and where we are and where we've been just for just now. Last week I spoke about the creed being developed over a period of time as a statement of faith, and it came very much from the congregations, the churches, the people who were meeting in caves and houses, people who were meeting together and who were persecuted for that faith, they developed something that they could believe in, that they could say was their belief, their faith, what it meant to be a Christian. And it was used in some ways to answer the questions for baptism and being brought into admission of the fellowship. So do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Just as we'd done last week, and we responded to these questions. Another thing I was saying when we were talking about that creed, that statement of faith and acknowledging that Christianity is unique in as much as it has a statement of faith like that, but we also have the Nicene Creed, and I also read a statement of faith which had been approved by the General Assembly quite a few years ago. And maybe part of what we should be doing is using a statement of faith more often to help us to explore our faith that little bit deeper and in more detail, and allowing ourselves to maybe to live the life that Paul says in Ephesians, to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And in deepening our faith and in coming to understand more who God is, maybe then that our what we see maybe sometimes as duty turning and it turns to joy as we move from the things that we feel we have to do to the things that we want to do. And I also said that the creeds say very little of Jesus' life, his teaching, his healing, but they set in place the doctrines of what we believe. And in these words from Romans chapter 3, all of a sudden we start to see a whole list of different kind of doctrines. There is the righteousness of God by faith, there's the universal sinfulness, there's justified through redeeming grace, there's Christ's sacrifice which vindicates God's justice, the righteousness of God, the justification, faith, sin, redemption, grace, forgiveness, and quite a number. So, but now, what now? And when we read some of Paul's letters, here's two just from Romans, chapter 6 and chapter 7. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. From Romans 7, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound to us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And from Romans 16, now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. And from Galatians at chapter 4, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now you know God, or rather are known by God. How is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? But now, says Paul, he writes, but now, for this was but now. That says, that's not anything new, for Jesus himself said, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you. So that idea of transformation, of change, of movement is not new. Paul didn't invent that little idiom. Jesus used the same thing. You've heard it said, that was then, but now I'm here and I tell you. And Paul writes, it was this, for once you were, but now you are. For once it was, but now it is. And that change, that transformation, is part of our redemption that God has brought about through Jesus Christ. And that but now can refer to God's actions in Jesus Christ to bring in the new age of salvation, or to the personal experience of movement from the old life of sin and death to a new life of righteousness and eternal life. The fact is, once we were far from God. In fact, when we go back to the very beginning, once we were very close to God. As his created beings, man and woman, Ish and Isha in the Hebrew, would walk with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. That was a thing that they did. They were in complete harmony with their Father, with their Creator. They walked with him. They would talk with him. They were with him. And he with them. There was a balance in their life that he was there. With man and with women. They were with God once. And then their actions of wanting to be God, their actions of disobeying him and eating the very fruit that he said they were not to eat, doing the very thing he said not to do, broke that relationship. and we get to that point where in the New Testament Paul says, once you were with God, to once you were far from God. If you imagine that Isha and Isha walking in the garden and God was maybe between them and he had his hand on their back and he was just walking with them, and then all of a sudden those hands are gone. But you know what's left? What's left is the imprint of the hand. And you know that even if you just lift your hand off your shoulder, you had it there for a while, or you're lying, you lift your hand, you feel the sensation of it missing. There's the God space where things are different. And Paul writes, once you were far from God. The image is tarnished and we are condemned under sin. That's where it went, how it went. And we see, if we were to read Romans 3, verse, the first 10 verses, we would see about that condemnation under sin. We would see what Paul was writing about, being in that sinful life, about being there because of that. But when we get to it, that's the bad news. That's the bad news, from a good point to the bad news, far from God. And now what Paul is saying, but now, and from verse 21, we get to the justification by faith, the good news. We get to the redemption, the good news. We get to the bit where God has done what he's always wanted to do, and he's put in place our salvation. The good news. And verses 21 to 31 just take us through that and what it is that he's done through Jesus Christ for us. Not because we deserve it, but by God's grace he wants to give this to us, so that all who would believe would be saved. This is not a universal salvation. It's available to all, but it is for those who believe. God wants everyone to be with him, but not everyone's going to be there. But those who believe, it's what Scripture says, Paul says, we see it in other writings, but those who believe. This is the but now moment, where God's grace is the turning point. It's his grace and his love for us. And for me, that's the moment when duty turns to joy. But you know, so often that transition tires. So often we get to the point you think, what was that moment about? It's two or three times over this year, particularly with starting on the Pioneer Ministry course, I've been asked to give my testimony. And I've spoken about the moment, I've shared it with you, that moment in Douglas Wood Scout Centre at a cub camp when God spoke to me, that moment when things changed for me. That moment when I went from the point of, actually, I suppose there is a God, because something has to have made all this stuff. I don't think all this could have been made, just something's got to have been done. To a point of, I know that there is a God and that he loves me. I don't understand anything about that, but I know it now. I knew it in my heart. In a moment, I knew that. God's grace, the but now. But you know, that was, what year is this? 20. That was 17 years ago. Is that right? No, 27 years ago. I can't count that. 27 years ago. It's a long time ago. And you know, it's really difficult to remember the excitement you feel. I'm sure I just need to speak to Maureen and she'll tell me. about the hassle I caused because of the excitement I felt in wanting to share the good news of what God has done. But that's what happens sometimes. We kind of, that idea fades within us a little bit. And so what Paul's starting to do for us is when that old news, that comes old news and we lose that sense of wonder, what Paul says there's a couple of reasons for that. One is we fail to remember who we are. That we are in sin and in ourselves. We're helpless. We're helpless slaves to sin. We're held by a power that we cannot overcome by ourselves. And that because of our selfishness and our greed, we fell into sin and we stay there because there's nothing we can do about it. And then there's the other bit, the other reason God says, Paul writes, but we fail to remember who God is. That he is holy and that he is just. And because he is holy, he cannot tolerate sin. And because he is holy and because he loves us, he does not want us to stay as we are. And so he acts to bring us back into relationship. He provides the sacrifice. That thing where we sang God the just was satisfied. In Christ alone we sang that God's wrath was satisfied. God's wrath was satisfied by the sacrifice of his Son, Christ Jesus. That's where that satisfaction comes in. That's where the imbalance is right and balanced, because God has done what only God could do to save us. And so Jesus dies on the cross for us. He rises from the dead for us. He ascends to be with the Father, and he will come again to rule and reign over us. And this is the good news. This is the good news. This is the but now. Once we were far from God, but now we are saved because God has acted. And there's nothing that we could have done about that. We couldn't have changed it ourselves. But now, that's what Paul's saying, but now, all these things are for us and for our redemption. For God redeems us. He saves us. He's the one and the only one who could do any of that. This is the good news for each one of us who believes. And I need to say, just in finishing, this is the good news for all. That it's available for all. But here's the thing. There are many people who don't want to hear it. There are many people who will try hard not to hear it. And there are many people who have heard it but forgotten it. Or have heard it and have walked away from it. And there are many people who have never heard what Jesus Christ has done for us. They've never heard. And if we don't tell them, who will? For me, that's mission. For me, that's pioneer ministry. For me, that's what we take when we connect with people. Sure, we can deal with the social justice things. We can deal with a lack of food. We can deal with a lack of clothing. We can deal with loneliness. We're helping people and connecting with people. But how do they know that God loves them? How do they know that Christ Jesus has died for them? And how do they know if we hold it to ourselves and not share such good news with others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and Lord, you call us. You call us into a situation, into a relationship with you, made right, justified through the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, your Son, in going to the cross and dying that horrific death for us. Lord, forgive us when we make it all so simple, so sweet, where we skim over the blood, the pain, the humiliation. Forgive us too, Lord, that we don't share this good news with others. But enable us, Lord, maybe this week, to share the story with one other who's heard it and forgotten it, who's never heard it, or who's heard it, rejected it. Let's just share with one other. Give us that strength, Lord. Give us the Spirit to inspire us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thou art before me, Lord. Let's rise to worship. Father, we thank you for this time, a time of worship, a time to glorify you, a time of blessing. And Lord, as we leave this place now, may your Spirit be with us. May he keep us safe. May he keep us well. And may he allow us to bump into that one person to share the good news with. And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and until Jesus Christ comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you.